What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Big Kev giving it out there. Let's welcome in another big personality. Zach Jackson joins us right now from The Athletic, at Akron Jackson on Twitter. He is on the fan hotline. Hello, Zach.
Hi, Ken. So the morning of the game in Charlotte, I'm out for a walk, and I see 9 police motorcycles. I'm like, what's going on? So I get a little closer, and I see 3 limos, and I see 3 cop cars, and I see this horse-drawn carriage for a hearse. Like, this is a really important funeral, right? And when I saw it, got me wondering, like, will they be able to find 2 horses big enough to drag you through the Streetsboro get-go one last time? I'm not sure if they will be.
But it's your problem. What is your problem,
Zach?
Why would you say such a thing?
I mean, I've had a lot of time just sitting in hotel rooms.
They got a drive-thru named Sammy's. And, I mean, it's right there. And, I mean, I think the problem is, could you get the draft horses and the Clydesdales and my carriage through there?
Yeah, I mean, this one only had 1 horse, and I thought it must be a hell of a horse. But then I started thinking about contingency plans. So, hey, I'm just thinking about you. That's all.
I will have a Lincoln-style funeral train to all the convenience stores in Northeast Ohio that I've bought beer from here over these last many years. Oh, yeah, we got to talk football with Zach. Zach joining us this morning. So, do you take anything back of what you said about Dylan Gabriel?
No. He played really well. And look, I don't care what the circumstances are or who you are, 3rd down, you convert them, right? That's the name of the game, and that's how you get high grades. So, I think that was probably his 2nd or 3rd day, or best day of the whole summer, and good for him. I actually thought he threw it really well in the last practice, and he was victimized by about 3 drops. But to me, of the 2 rookies, there's one that has a chance to be a quality NFL quarterback down the road. And if I'm wrong about that, on which one that is, then maybe I'll be wrong, but certainly would not accept 2 quarters of preseason football as evidence of being wrong. So let's just see how it plays out.
And yet that's where we're at on a lot of this stuff, at least the fans, because the fans haven't been to practice every day. They've been relying on the reporters and the video cut-ups, even joint practice, very little was made available to the public. So all you have is 1 game so far out of Sanders and 1 game out of Gabriel, and then you got to try to determine who is playing with who and who is playing against who. So I'm hoping that the coaches can make a much more substantive evaluation of these guys.
Yeah, and those guys are and have been evaluated on everything going back to May. And like I said, I mean, the first day of rookie minicamp, competitive drills, it was obvious this was going to be different because they chose this unique setup that has never happened before, right, and probably will never be replicated with the 4 QBs. So, you know, past the spring, the competition really never developed. But, you know, this has buried the lead to me, guys, and that's that over the past 10-ish practices, you have seen the kind of strides from the offense looking like a total train wreck and then baby steps and then baby steps. And then they got shut out on the first day in Philly, and they looked really good the 2nd day in Philly. So again, there's different contexts there that you can go through, and video clips and tweets can't explain. But you see the growth. You see the defense looks really good. And I think, you know, they're not a finished product, and they're certainly not a perfect product. But I think with the exception of the run game, they should feel pretty decent about where they are and understand that over these next, 2.5 weeks now, they have to keep going with the overall progress.
Zach Jackson with us right now on the hotline. So the one thing we're all curious about is Flacco going to be named the starting quarterback like today? Why wasn't it yesterday? Why wasn't it the day before? And what are they doing with Kenny Pickett?
Well, it's real simple. The players weren't there yesterday, right? They get back to work today. Kevin's going to explain his decision to them, right? To the quarterbacks, probably individually, to the team collectively, and then they're going to go forward. That's always the way he was going to do it. That's probably the right way to do it, right? Like, this thing's been over for weeks because Kenny hasn't had a full practice since July 26th. So what's next for Kenny Pickett is a hell of a question, and I don't know that answer. I feel pretty strongly that next Tuesday, when the final 53 or the first 53, excuse me, comes out, I feel pretty strongly they're going to have four quarterbacks. And the biggest response I get to any tweets, including Dylan and Shador, right, is that they have to trade Kenny Pickett. And sure, but what are you getting for him, right? And if you do want to trade Kenny Pickett, which probably is a sensible thought, you know, barring somebody else getting hurt now, I think you hold on to him. You see how it happens for you first. You should be scarred by the DTR thing 2 years ago, right, with the unnecessary Josh Dobbs trade. But then more than anything, if you are going to get value, you let things play out and you see, I mean, history says some of these guys are going to get hurt once the season starts.
Zach, so what's your QB depth chart then?
I think it has to be Flacco 1 and a healthy Pickett has to be 2. I don't think that you could have a rookie backup to start the year, right? Mm-hmm. So after 4-ish games, we'll see. There is a chance that I'm really wrong about that and that Dylan Gabriel will be the number 2. But evidence, not what we've seen in analyzing, but what we've seen in the reps and the presentation, is that there is no way that they regard Shador Sanders as close to passing Dylan Gabriel right now. So the number 2 will either be Pickett or Gabriel, and that will be health dependent. And like I said, options dependent for all of these guys, but I just think they're going to end up keeping 4 at the start and then let it evolve from there.
Is that what you think it should be? Is that your personal depth chart?
Yeah, right now it's pretty close to that. We haven't seen Kenny. You know, I mean, I think he's had really good 7-on-7 sessions the last 2 practices, because that dates back to 1 session last Wednesday and 1 session last Monday. And that's the most he's thrown in over 3 weeks. So, you know, he's played in games before, right? You know, DTR won a game for the Browns the other day. Remember who he beat the last time he won a game for the Browns? Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think you go that way and we'll see. You just never know what's going to happen. And this coaching staff and this veteran roster has to be so urgent about stealing a win early. I would not have a rookie backup QB unless I had a great opportunity. And with Kenny Pickett not having played, not having been healthy, I'm not sure what great trade opportunity or even good one would be there. Maybe I'm wrong. And cutdown day is, what, a week from tomorrow? So maybe I'm wrong. But right now, I'd be surprised if there's a realistic one.
Isaac, not going to lie, and anybody reporting on the Browns has been dealing with a bunch of hate from one faction or another, because the Browns fans aren't really united on anything except hating the media. In this case, I mean, you made it sound like there is like a chasm between Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. And, well, get that stuff to Hugh Douglas. Get that stuff to the guys at ESPN and all their debate shows.
Yeah, so I could do an hour on the harm that tracking actual training camp stats and presenting them without context has done. But since day one, on July 23rd, I've tracked the...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Reps, right, just to see the rotations. And Kenny's injury changed it, but when you, the reps and the rotations, who's with who, who's first in line, and who's getting little things as situations change, it's not close. And we can go on that. And I thought Kevin was really careful not to overly praise Dylan, just like he's been really careful not to say anything, right? But we can go by what we see here, right? So people can get all red in the face about how I analyze a certain practice or what a certain practice means. And one practice usually doesn't mean much, right? But the actual rotations, how the coaches have presented the work, has been right in front of us because it's fully open. There was no filming in Philly, but it was fully open. And those rotations scream that Dylan is significantly ahead of Shador in the eyes of this coaching staff.
All right, when I was younger and preseason, all the teams seemed to treat that third game like the, quote, dress rehearsal. We all knew what that meant, and you would see most of the healthy starters, you would see them out there for, you know, more than just a series or two. You'd see them play into the second quarter. I remember some coaches have these guys play into the third. Well, they used the term, Kevin Stefanski used the term, dress rehearsal for the final game of the preseason. What does that mean to you?
Well, it goes with the whole week, right? They have three practices this week, and that's structured just like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday normal practice ahead of the game, right? So what that means to me is the starters will play around two series. In each of his 4 years that have included a preseason, he has played either almost all of the starters or at least some of the starters in this third game every time he has. So I think everybody except Miles and Joel will play as long as there's no lingering issues. And I think it'll be around two series. If Kenny's healthy enough, I think he will get a third with most of the starters, maybe not all of them, maybe not, you know, Jerry Jeudy. I think they'll sub guys. I think they'll play the first quarter and a half like a real game, and then they'll try to get both rookies in the second half. However, with Shador being injured, with Kenny being injured, we don't know how that will go. But I feel pretty strongly that tomorrow the announcement of the quarterback will be made public, and that Saturday you'll see Joe with almost everybody out there for two series, maybe three, you know, just depending on the flow of the game. Because you script everything in practice. You can't script anything in the preseason games.
It's a weird term, but I have to ask it. Do you think that there's anything to worry about if you're Dustin Hopkins or Rex Sunahara?
Well, it wasn't Rex that botched the snap the other day, so I would say that he's probably the leader there.
Okay.
As far as Dustin Hopkins, that's a hell of a question, Ken. And we've only seen him kick, I think, twice, maybe three times, once in practice, live, and in the two preseason games. So, yeah, that's a great one. I think it would come down to options. Who's realistically available? You know, I think probably keeping a kicker on the practice squad just in case is fine, but I think you might do that anyway, given Dustin's age, right? Like, you have 16 spots on the practice squad, and each team has three or four that they use for different reasons. So I would say right now I feel fairly strongly that next Tuesday Dustin Hopkins will be on the team. But, you know, even 2 years ago when they brought in Dustin Hopkins, it was a trade on the Monday after the preseason because Cade melted at the end of the preseason. So let's see what happens this week.
I am more receptive to listeners than they think, maybe, because I saw a lot of those tweets yesterday. Like, hey, you going to ask Zach? Or they were asking if I was going to ask Daryl. I don't know if they knew you were coming on. But I was like, well, I'm going to ask one of them. And so I had to ask you on it just to see if there was any fire where there might be smoke, or if there's even any smoke at all.
No, I would say this about that situation. You know, I've been clear from the start, like, as in the day Shador was drafted, this isn't personal. I couldn't believe they took Dylan Gabriel in the top 100, right? But I realized right then this was going to be a very awkward thing. And after dealing with social media hate, mostly from the Sanders side, like, I understand, like, a human response. And I think what Dylan said on the sideline Saturday was a human response to all of this, because he has been the other guy since, what, April 24th, right? And his first preseason has been completely undercut by the team choosing to do this. So maybe not completely, but it's certainly been undercut, right? So we don't know what's going on. We don't know what he really meant. You know, sometimes after I talk to Jim France, I end up quoting him for a couple of days, so it feels like maybe he was talking to Dan Lanning.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's a human response. And Dylan has had that chip on his shoulder since the moment he arrived here. And, you know, if that's what's driven him, then good for him. But I think we can't not forget, and we can fairly criticize this front office for the human element is a big part of this whole deal.
So you think it might have been a shot?
Yeah, I don't think I need to further speculate. I think you could just play the audio.
Woo! Tone!
All right, Isaiah Bond, we're waiting on official word on him today. So what do we think that means for some of these other receivers, including Deontay Johnson, who like a week and a half ago people thought was a lock to make the team?
Who thought that?
People that love their video
because
from training camp.
Before we ever would pound ourselves in the head to say, of course they're going to go after Isaiah Bond, the answer would be that Deontay has done very little. And so I don't know that those are two related things, because I think they play completely different positions and potentially have different roles. But right now, on a roster projection, Deontay would be on the wrong side of the bubble and probably by a significant margin.
Oh, wow.
So I'm fascinated. I mean, is this an automatic spot on the 53 for a guy who hasn't played football at all and hasn't been in your program and hasn't you know, done this.
It is the Browns.
It kind of feels like it, right? Right. So, and then does that lead to maybe you can't keep four quarterbacks, right? Because you already got a dead spot there for a few weeks, and we don't know the status of Judkins in relation to the league investigation. I would say, I would surmise, guys, that the Isaiah Bond signing becoming official tells me they have indication from the league that he's not going to be suspended. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that for sure. That's just how I would guess.
Man, so, it's crazy because they had a lot of indications during the Watson process, and they were off, it seemed like, every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, that one case versus many is probably different, but you know, all of this stuff goes on in the league. The league makes its own investigations and its own rulings. So that's why I think the Browns have been very careful not to comment at all on Judkins, and that's why, because they don't know, to some extent, probably, exactly what the league is going to rule.
All right. Well, real quick, you just blew my doors off with the Dillon Gabriel thing. Trey Hendrickson, there's no chance, right?
Now, the Browns and Bengals have never made a trade, and this would not be the first. No. But that's a fascinating thing because, you know, the Bengals have been big on this. We got to start better when they've been so bad. We know what they bring from a firepower standpoint. Outside the coordinator change, Ken, it's pretty much their same defensive personnel. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have their best guy, right? And
they were bad before. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a fascinating watch there for sure.
All right, Zach, thank you so much for the time. Even with the fat jokes, I still enjoy you. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Jackson on the Fan Hotline.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.